We are starting and kicking off a new series tonight called The Armor of God. If we ever need the armor of God, it's now. And it's funny, me and Gordon were talking before service, and he mentioned that very verse. That's exactly what we'll be kicking off tonight, is the armor of God. There are seven pieces that Paul lists in this armor. We're going to go through each piece individually, week by week, and talk about what this means. You know, armor is to protect us, right? It's to keep us from being harmed. And the only protection we really have is the armor of God. Even with plagues around us, even with violence around us, even with whatever's around us, if I've got the armor of God, I know all is well. He's protecting me, and I'm good. And so we're going to get into this tonight. I think it's very appropriate to have this series with what we are facing. I know many will not agree with this statement, but the enemy is at work very much right now. For those that don't, some don't believe that, and they say, no, these are things that have to happen. These are things that need to change. The enemy is working behind the scenes on all of this to invoke division, to invoke hatred, and to keep separating the people of God and the people of this country. And so we are in a very different season. I sure didn't think January 1, 2020 will be what it was. You know, my daughter didn't have a graduation ceremony for her high school graduation. We have seen restaurants shut down, all sporting events canceled. They try to close the churches. We have seen something like we've never seen before, all in the name of whatever they want to call it. But what's really happening is the enemy is very much at work right now. And so we're going to get into this. And if you don't believe in spiritual things, this message is not for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to start with this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Man, we are tired right now, aren't we? Any of y'all tired? We're just tired. We're exhausted. Because we are letting, and I said this, I'm going to try to be careful in how I word things, but I've been praying that God will put in my mouth what needs to be said in this time and this season. Cannot let puppet masters pull our strings and make us dance. We let the Word of God guide our lives like any time else. And what we are seeing now is people are believing anything they hear and everything they hear. And one of the greatest Facebook posts I saw recently, I shared it Sunday, where it said, if you believe everything you see on Facebook, why don't you believe the Word of God? Right? I mean, come on. Our strength and our power comes through him, not through us. I don't have no strength. I'm tired. I don't have no power. I'm weak. But when I begin to hook into God's might and God's power, something changes. When I let his strength become my strength and his power become my power, my life changes. That's why I have absolutely, and I know many, especially with men. Men definitely are more news mind than most women, most time. Not all. Don't you get offended, women. Many of you are news mind. I get that. But as a whole, you know, men are really news minded. Talk radio, talk all that. We're locked in. I have turned, I actually canceled. I don't have any live TV anymore. I canceled TV. I canceled it. Yes. I've turned it off because I'm not going to let the world tell me how the world is. I'm going to let my God tell me how his kingdom is. And if I let the world distract me and discourage me to the point I can't preach, I've let them win. And so I've turned it off. I'm not trying to bury my head. I still got Facebook and I see stuff and I know about the Cooper Mass deal. I know about that. I still see stuff. But I'm not going to sit there, and Melanie's really happy about this. They should drive her crazy. I'm not going to sit there and watch news from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. Every different announcer, every different speaker. I'm not going to do it because I don't believe half or more of what I see and hear anyway. And so I'm just going to turn it off and I'm going to trust God. God, you've got me this far all my life. You know, I'm going a little old school here. Dan Rather. Remember Dan Rather? He done nothing for me. Sean Hannity? Nothing for me. Even Rush Limbaugh has done nothing for me. But you know who has done something for me? Jesus. He's done something for me. And that's who I trust. God has got me through almost 5 decades of living. He saved me at 8 months old from double bronchitis pneumonia. I almost got hit by a car one time because mom couldn't understand baby talk. And when she turned, heard a horn blow, she freaked out, and there I was in the middle of a main road. Some mama, huh? Can I go to the road and get the car? Yeah, okay, honey. I don't know what she was doing, cooking salmon patties, Brussels sprouts. I don't know what she was doing. But anyway, she wasn't paying attention. So I've seen God save me. I've seen God keep me. I've seen God keep my wife from a horrible wreck when she was carrying Christian in her womb. I've seen God keep me all of my life. I've seen God protect me. I've seen God provide for me. I've seen God watch me all of my life. And you know what? It's God that did all of that. What we must understand, we're so earthly minded. We're so earthly kingdom that all of our eggs are in this basket. Our eggs should be in the kingdom basket. I serve a God who's far above every power and every principality and every high spirit. I serve a God who's above all of that. And my power, my strength comes from Him, not from what someone tells me, what I can and can't do, how I should and should feel, what I've got to do and not got to do. I'm going to trust the Word of God. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Is there any fear in the armor of God? No. Only fear of God, but not fear of man. Is there any discouragement, any worries in the armor of God? No. When knights used to go out in battle, and even in this time period, in the biblical days, they had gear they put on, right? Helmets, face masks, swords, breastplates, big old steel things to cover their legs. I mean, man, they were covered so that nothing could hurt them. How much more shall we walk in the goodness of God if we put on His armor, knowing, God, the darts may come, but You've got me. Weapons may form, but You've got me. Discouragement may come, but You've got me. Anger and violence may come against me, but You've got me, God, because I'm covered in Your armor. Not the world's, not the government's, not social media. You, God, I've got Your armor on. And why do I put that on? That I can stand against the wiles of the devil. This is the deceptions and the accusations that the devil brings against us. Then here's the verse Ming Gore is talking about. And I'm going to read in the King James. I want Gordon to read in the Amplified. Here's what the King James says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, evil in high places. That's what we're battling. And for those of you watching that don't believe in the demonic world, you think this is just brother against brother, sister against sister, Democrat against Republican, black against white, liberal against conservative, face mask wearers against non-face mask wearers. Had nothing to do with that. We're not fighting that. We're fighting demonic forces that have set themselves up in our hearts to try to bring hatred and anger and division. And we must cast those down. And the only way the strongholds are cast down is through the might and the power of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Go on, come up here, Mings. I want everybody to see, hear this on Facebook too, is watching. I want you to read out of the Amplified what verse 12 says.
Verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against dispositions, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural sphere.
See, we're fighting against things that are not of this world. This is what makes people go cuckoo. and psycho is because of the spiritual demonic hold. And we can't stand against that with our Sunday suit and our Baptist smile and our offering waving in the air. That's not going to cut it. We have to, and this is why I think Bill's message also for Sunday school is very timely, talking about fasting right now, because fasting is a big part of breaking strongholds in our lives. It's a big part of this darkness that we battle against being cast out and away from us, because we are battling something bigger than what we can see with our natural eyes. I have found this in my life. Most people, not every person, but most people, if you treat them with love and respect and you show them the right, treat them the right way, I usually always get that back in response. Don't y'all? You get that back in response. If we have a chip on our shoulder and anger and bitterness in our heart and rebellion in our spirit, because here's the thing. Many of us are frustrated by what we are seeing. Many of us are on both sides of the aisles with all the stuff going on in our politics right now. We're troubled and we're stressed. But if we realize that God is still over those powers, God, you're over those powers. So I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to follow what you speak into my life, regardless of what I'm seeing around me. I'm going to let your will be done. We're wrestling against those spiritual wickedness in that demonic supernatural realm. Now let's get into, verse 11. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's always been evil days. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Man, they couldn't find a dozen people that was righteous. I mean, it was, terrible. We've always seen evil. Me and Mel talked about it one day a few weeks ago, how in the very beginning, brother killed brother, right? We see that in the very beginning. One of King David's sons tried to kill him. Saul tried to kill David. We've always had evil days, and we are in a different time now. And I think in the season we're in, this is a time of transformation. This is a time that something's going to happen spiritually. There's something in the air. Here's what I felt over here earlier. I was praying. This is kind of what came out of me. It's time for the sons and the daughters of God to rise up and walk as the sons and the daughters of God. Because we don't need more political finger pointing. We need spiritual breakthrough. We don't need more lectures and speeches. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in a transformed people to rise up and begin to speak forth. Those strongholds be broke and loosed and abolished and destroyed in the name of Jesus. It's time for the sons and daughters to tap in to the supernatural realm and discover who they really are in Christ. We're not just churchgoers. We are world changers, hallelujah, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time that we are part of changing what's happening right now. Not with hatred and not with violence and not with arguing, but with being a light in a dark world and pointing people to the one who changed everything. When we put on that armor of God, that we'll be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand. That means be ready. Be ready. When I go every Sunday and stand at that back door, you know what I'm doing? I'm ready. I'm ready to speak to y'all. Fist bump y'all. If you let me hug y'all. If you don't, I don't touch y'all. But I'm back there and I'm ready to see y'all come through. I'm standing at attention, and I'm ready. When you put on the armor of God, just be ready. You are ready to fight. You are ready to stand. You are ready to resist. Not in an angry way, but in a godly way. Standing against what the devil is coming your way with. We'll talk about just the first piece tonight. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth, the first piece of the armor. Truth. How do I know what truth is anymore? I kind of made a joke last week, but I am serious. I really think if CNN come out tonight with some kind of weird bulletin, you know, demonic, wild, purple elephants stampede Seattle, and there's unicorns on top of the buildings, I really think we would be getting binoculars, looking out our window, seeing if they're coming our way, just because they said it. How do we know what truth is? Is truth what they say? Is truth what he says? Truth what she says? We're talking about the truth of who God is and the truth of what his word says. Because I can trust God's word is true. I can trust that. The word of God has not been politically altered. It's not been compromised. The word of God has no certain agenda. The only agenda the word of God has is that all men would be saved. All women would be saved. All people would be saved. It's the only agenda. That he's the Lord of all. Let's read what truth really is. Go to that next. I got a text there, I think. Right there. Truth. You know what truth does? What it is? Truth holds everything together. Truth grounds us. It anchors us. It keeps us. When we know the truth, we're not moved. We're not so easily swayed by what we hear and by what we see, because I know it's truth. I know that this microphone is black. I don't care what Gail says it is. He may say, no, it's not. It's orange. Gail, I love you, brother, but you're wrong. It ain't orange. This is a black microphone. The color, I know it has some blue on it, y'all. I know you're Sierra's like, it's got blue on it. I know it's got blue. But as a whole, it's a black microphone. This is the truth. These tickets are blue, right? Everybody agree with that? Margie may not be able to tell, bless her little heart. Everybody else, blue. Margie, these are blue, okay? Blue tickets. So no matter what y'all say, Brenda may say, no, they're bright yellow. No, they're not. You're on something because they're not yellow. These are blue. When we know the truth, and here's the truth that I know. There is no doubt there was a man named Jesus, born of a virgin, God in the flesh, who took on flesh and became like man, who lived a perfect, sinless life, who paid the price for my sin, and that he and he alone is the only way to redemption. I know that to be my truth that God has revealed to me. So no matter what anybody else says, I believe what he has done in my life, that by Jesus' grace, I am saved, that he took away my sin, he took away all the wrath, he took away everything that I was guilty of and made me whole and made me clean and made me pure and made me holy and made me righteous. This is a truth that I know. So when the world or the devil tries to tell me something else, no, I'm letting this truth hold it together. I'm letting this truth ground me and anchor me and keep me through the battle and keep me through the storms, because I know that I know that I know what God is and what his word is, and that I'll stand on. That's what truth does. It holds things together. When you don't know an answer, you're really at a disadvantage, aren't you? But when you know the answer, oh, you have a lot of confidence, because I know the answer. I know the answer. Go to my next verse there, Brandon. It's not Ephesians, I don't think. It's something else. Yep. Psalms 86:11. We're talking about truth. Teach me your way, O Lord, your way. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Something we have, I think, learned. I really believe that God is trying to open our eyes as well to some things happening. Even though the enemy is attacking, we know that God always is over all things and God has a purpose for all things. We have seen our entertainment world shut down, haven't we? We've seen casinos shut down, bars shut down, sporting venues shut down, movie theaters, bowling alleys. Entertainment's been shut down. All the things that maybe we thought we didn't worship, maybe we did worship a little bit, right? Maybe we were too much into those things. And all of a sudden, those things have been removed out of our lives. Whether we agree with that or not agree with that, they've been removed out of our lives. And when all this stuff's removed, what are we left with? Who do we turn to? The Lord. We stand in a position of so many things being removed from our lives that it points us to search for answers. And the only answer that can be found is through Him. So we turn our eyes to God and we seek His truth for our lives and for our direction and where we go from here. I don't know what is going to happen in the next month, the next 3 months, the next year. I don't know what's going to happen in November. I don't know what's going to happen in 2021. Who knows? God knows. We don't know. All I know is I want to walk in His truth, and I want to fear, only fear Him. And I mean fear in a reverent way. Not fear, I'm scared of God. Fear in a way of, God, You are holy, You are righteous, You are King, You are Lord, You are all. And there's none above You. If we put as much awe into God as we did the things of the world, we may not see what we're seeing right now. So through this, it's made me definitely, I don't know about y'all, has it made you lean on God more during this time? It has me. I've leaned on God more. I've had to trust God more. You know, I've had to trust God through all this process of the church. I was thanking God today for that. I said, Lord, You have provided, You have blessed. Thank You for what You've done. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just know that God has raised this place up. And all I know is until God shuts it down, it will be open. Period. End of discussion. If people are mad about that, be mad. The church is the light of the world. And you can't put that light under a bushel and hide it. It's time. People need to hear the gospel like never before right now. They need to hear the truth like never before. Things come and go, but the one thing that's going to be forever is you and your soul. That's forever. That's the most important thing we have is our soul. And God came to save our soul. It's the only thing that's eternal. Go to the next verse, friend. This is found in John 8:31. Jesus said to those, and He's talking here in His own words, to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. Next verse, friend. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, I'm no longer bound to what the devil tells me. I'm over that. I used to be in a place where the devil had a great influence in my thoughts because of the guilt, the condemnation, the shame, the uncertainty. What if you're not saved because you did that last night? What if you're not saved because you did that last year? What if you're not saved because you still have those thoughts? What if you're not saved because you still mess up? And the devil had a hold of me a lot of my life with those thoughts. But Jesus has really set me free. I don't worry about that no more because the devil's a liar. And he's been conquered by the grace of Jesus. And that's who I trust. And so that truth has set me free. You're saying, Pastor, how in the world could you be so secure in your salvation? You don't know. If I trust the Word of God, I know. If I believe the Word of God, I know. And the Word of God is filled with verse after verse after verse that talks about my salvation being in Him and Him alone. And I trust that. And I trust that He has shed His blood for my sins and that I am forgiven and redeemed and reconciled back to Christ. And that truth has set me free. I'm not a slave anymore to the bondage of the devil. I'm not a slave anymore to his lies. I'm not a slave to his assaults and his attacks on my life. I don't have to be angry because they're angry. I don't have to be mad because they're mad. No, I'm a child of God. And it's time that we act like children of God. Next verse, man. This verse is really, I think, great for what we're talking about. Ephesians 4:14. If you know the truth, this is what doesn't happen. We have truth so that we are no more like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When we walk in truth and we know that truth, We're not bounced around like a ping pong ball. We are anchored. I know. I'm not going to let every voice pull me here. I'm not going to let every sleight of hand pull me there. I'm not going to let every message I hear. And I've said this my whole life as a pastor of this church. Read the word for yourself. You may not always agree with what I say, and that's okay. God can give you a different revelation. I'm okay with that. But the things that I get are always from the word of God, and you test that for yourself. And you challenge that word of God, and you ask God, is this word that I heard preached and taught, is it your truth, God? Is that the truth of the word of God? Don't be tossed about. And right now, we have people that are not thinking for themselves whatsoever. They are following by the masses like sheep with no thought. Something Mom always taught me was to think for myself, and I have. And sometimes my thinking isn't popular, and sometimes the way I feel isn't like the majority. But it's okay. A lot of what Jesus did wasn't very popular either, and his disciples definitely weren't popular. But they follow God's word, and they follow God's way. We have the truth, and that truth keeps us from bouncing from doctrine to doctrine, opinion to opinion. I'm not saying we're not open-minded to hear what God has to say, but not to what the world has to say. I want to tell you something else. We are not supposed to be like the world. We're different. We should be. We should be proud to be different. You know, the Bible says that we're in the world, but not of the world. So we're here, yes. But we should represent our Heavenly Father and His kingdom, not this kingdom. And if we walk around in fear and discouragement and anxiety and hopelessness and uncertainties, we are not portraying the picture of Christ whatsoever. We're letting this kingdom dictate how we live. We're letting this kingdom dictate what kind of mood we're in. I'm going to tell you something. Melanie had to go get Ashley from work, but if she was here, she would amen this. Turn your news off and watch what will happen to your soul. All of a sudden, you ain't going to care. You just ain't going to care. You'd be like, God, you've got me. I mean, think about this. Bill's talking about fasting from food, which is the hardest thing in the world to do. And fast from the news. just say, you know what? I'm gonna take some of y'all taking one evening will be a miracle. Just turn it off for one evening. Tomorrow night, when I get home from work, I'm not going to watch any news at all, just tomorrow evening. You'll be sitting there like this. Give me a cigarette. You'll be doing something. Give me a drink. I mean, but just shut it off. Go for a walk. Can we still do that, God? Yeah, he said, yeah, okay. Go for a walk. Take your dog with you. Go to the park. You can't swing on it. I guess you can park your car and look at the swings. But go to the park. Go do something and just, instead of the news, turn it off and go for a walk. Go sit on your back deck. Meditate. Fast. That'd be a good thing. You know what? I'm going to take tomorrow evening from 5 to bedtime just to fast. And instead of the news, I'm going to take this time just to fast and talk to God. Man, you'll go to bed a lot happier. You'll be hungry, but you'll go to bed happier. Do what? That's what I just said. Yeah, right. Just yeah. That's what I said. Fast from the news instead of doing that. Yeah, well, yeah, I said that, but yeah. But just turn it off because all we're hearing is the negative, 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 negative. That's all we're hearing. Church, I'm out in the world every day. I'm still going outside, Gordon. Yeah, and I'm still going to malls and I'm walking downtown. I'm living my normal life, okay? And I run to people all the time. And what I am seeing as a whole is not what I'm seeing on the news, not here. I'm seeing people that are still speaking to each other, people that love each other, people that are still taking care of each other. I'm still seeing that. And so we have to be careful what we are tuning on and what we are tuning off. Turn off the news and watch what will happen. I'm telling you, it's changed my life because, man, I was a news fanatic. I drove Melanie crazy. And I would find myself getting irritated. You know what I'm talking about, Gail? And angry and mad. And I'm like, why am I letting myself get all discombobulated? That's a good word. Discombobulated. I can't change one thing that congressman votes on. I can't change one tweet our president does. I can't change one executive order the governor tried to put out. I can't change one thing. And here I am rattled and mad and my heart's pounding and my face is red and I don't want to eat and I'm snapping at the kids over something I can't control. And God is like, James, do you believe CNN or do you believe me? Is your trust in Governor Cooper or is your trust in King Jesus? Bill in his fasting class since has been talking about, he calls it King Stomach. Overcoming King Stomach. Pretty good, huh? Who are we trusting? Who are we believing in? Truth sets you free. And man, once you're free, you don't want to ever go back to that again. The biggest thing I used to be challenged by was my salvation, because, you know, most of us are kind of taught that about the saved, unsaved, getting in and out, you know, getting back and forth, all that. And I had a lot of unsettlements about it. And I prayed one day. I prayed. When I started this church, I prayed in 2002. God was already stirring my heart about this. And I said, Lord, I need to know about salvation. I'm confused about this. I know I'm saved by grace, but then I hear I got to do everything right, or if God comes back and I'm not doing something right, I could be lost. So which one is it? And he spoke to me so clearly and says, you weren't saved by your good works. You can't be unsaved by your bad works. Man, when he said that, I know that was God that said that. I wasn't trying to justify going out and partying. I'm not a party person. Never have been. That wasn't it. I was seeking God's direction. And when he spoke that to me, it gave me the peace. I remember telling Mom about that when I first started church. Remember that, Mom? I told you that 18 years ago. I told you that. And when he spoke that to me, it gave me so much peace to realize that's the truth. I wasn't saved because I was all that good. God didn't save me because I was a good boy. Good Jamie. Good Jamie. You gave your offering today and you went to the altar today and you didn't say no bad words. Good Jamie. You're saved today. And then I said a bad word the next day. You're unsaved again. And then I did good the next day and you're resaved again. And then the next day I messed up and I had road rage. You're unsaved again. Then the next day I didn't look at no women. But the next day, man, the one that walked in, whew, yeah, there you go. We know Gordon got a struggle. That's okay. He done the old 20s, 30s. Remember he used to dance on the floor and then men do like that? Going way back. And I begin to realize, God, this don't make sense. I mean, am I saved? Am I yours? Am I not yours? I can't. And he gave me that peace and that truth, that one truth he revealed to me, set me free. And man, that changed my life. Truth will set you free. Go to the next verse. We'll close this out on this first part. Speaking, but you speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. That's the key, right? Sometimes we'll speak the truth, but we call it, people that speak the truth sometimes do it with no filter. We call it no filter, right? And usually that's not good. We all know someone who has no filter, that they say exactly what they think at that moment. Then they're like, oops, did I really say that out loud? Yeah. We can speak truth in a way that brings peace and not division. We can speak truth with love. Holding up a sign in the streets, and some of you may disagree with this, and that's fine. We all got our opinions. But holding up signs and marching in the street saying, all homosexuals are going to burn in hell is not the right way to speak that truth. I think the right way to speak that truth. I have had many people throughout my, many, probably 10 different people as a pastor that have come talk to me personally about homosexuality and their battle. And I sit down with them. I listen to them. I talk with them. I've not once told one of those people ever that I talk to, you're going to hell. We talk. I find out what's going on in their lives. I give them scriptures. We pray. I love them. I hug them. I'm there for them. Period. There's a way that we can minister truth in love. Once we turn violent, the message is over. Once we turn angry, the message is over. The real message. Because all we're seeing then is the hate. All we're seeing is the tearing down. I mean, we've had preachers like that, right? I mean, we've seen preachers like that that'll just tear somebody down. Well, you done lost them now. You've lost them. You stripped them and you beat them. And you've lost what you could have had gained if you would have done it with love. Because now you brought a deeper hurt that may take years or maybe never will heal the right way. We are to speak the truth in love that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, the head. He is the head of our government. He is the head of this country. They can try to take His name out. They can try to take Jesus statues down, whatever they want to do. He is still the head of this country and of this world and of this universe. He's the head. And they can't take that away. He's in control. Mom shared a sign, a Facebook, I think I said this Sunday, shared a little Facebook post where a guy's holding a sign. Remember exactly what it said, Mom? Yep. Talking about Jesus. Holding the sign, if He returns, we'll kill Him again. That used to would have made me so hot under the collar and mad. But as God has shown His love to me, I feel different now. I don't get mad at this guy. I have compassion for him. He's lost. He's lost. And the same Jesus He wants to kill again died for him. The very one holding the sign. This is what Jesus said when He looked at those who crucified Him. Remember what He said at the end? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Compassion. Jesus realized they didn't know. They didn't understand the depth of who He was. They didn't know they were killing their future Savior. Not really. They didn't know they were king. They were killing the King of all glory, the creation of all things. They didn't know that. And Jesus wasn't mad. He had compassion. When we speak love, truth, and love, that's what changes things. Not anger and not hate, but in love. I got one more verse there. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, this is the last two verses. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God. Do you know that tonight? You're of God. That's a good thing. I'm of God. If you don't know it, come talk to me. You can know it before you leave tonight. I know I'm of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. He's talking about the culture, the system of the world is wicked. And we know that. There's been corruption from the very beginning. Prostitution, the oldest occupation on the place, face of the earth. Corrupt politicians, all of our days. Corrupt kings, corrupt governors, corrupt preachers, corrupt car salesmen. No offense, Gordon. Corrupt everybody. There's always been corruption and wickedness, and because the world is made up that way. But look what verse 20 says. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We may know Him that is true. God, I'm not part of this worldly, wickedly system. You've called me out of that. I'm passing through. I'm traveling through. But this is not my residence. This is not where I belong. This is not who I am. I know the truth of who I am, and that is I'm of You, God. And You are over all of this. And that's where my trust lies. That we are in Him. That is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We should only worship one. And the first piece of this armor is truth. Truth holds it all together. Truth is the foundation for our walk with God. And when we know the truth of who He is and what He's done for us, then we'll have a foundation to stand on the world can't shake. That's the truth I believe in. For you, those of you watching tonight, hold on to that truth, believe that truth, seek that truth, call upon that truth. That will change your life. Don't let the world shape you, scare you, intimidate you, and pull your strings. We serve a God who is more than able to change all things and everything at any moment. So do not fear. We've got some more rough patches coming. It's going to be a turbulent rest of the year. But Jesus is still King. And He is still Lord. And He is going to get all of us through this. I would love to bankrupt every news channel on TV. Just bankrupt them. Turn off the voices. Take time fasting from the news, praying, seeking God, saying, Lord, this is where my power comes from. This is where my strength comes from. You're going to cause yourself to go to an early grave watching the news and social media. Man, let's pray. Father, as we come to the close of this service, I pray that Your truth penetrate our hearts and that, God, we will seek what is real, not what we are always hearing, but what You are speaking. God, we need Your voice. We need Your truth. We need Your love. We need Your might and power to move in the midst of our lives, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of fear, in the midst of what's happening, God. I feel a generational shift taking place right now. And God, we know You're in control of all that. And we just pray that You lead and guide us as this shift takes place. And that, God, we promote the light and the truth of the gospel and who You are during this time. That we will not fold, we will not buckle, we will not weaken, but we will stand on the promises of Your word forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for you that tuned in to watch us tonight. Be here Sunday morning at 10 if you can. Sunday school at 9 o'clock. I encourage you to be here for Bill's series. He's doing an incredible job on fasting and really opening my eyes on a lot of things as well. And I appreciate him following God on that. He came to me when he first started. He says, Pastor, I want to do a series. I want to ask you about it first. I don't want to cause no trouble. I was like, oh, my Lord, what? I didn't know what he was going to talk about. So I was kind of relieved when he said fasting. Okay. Yeah, of course. Because fasting is something that's not popular. But once again, he's breaking down how we can do that. We think of fasting as being, oh, I got to go 7 days, no food, no water. Oh, woe is me. Man, fasting can be incorporated in so many ways. Skip breakfast, skip lunch, skip dinner, do half a day, full day. Do, you know, whatever you want to do. But there's different ways we can do it to hear God's voice. And so I'm excited about continuing to hear his message. He's doing great. We're actually going to be Facebook Live-ing him as well starting this Sunday at 9 o'clock. So you can tune in and watch his teaching if you don't want to be here or can't be here. So get that word out there. Everybody good tonight? All right. We already prayed, right? Yeah, we're good. Okay. Guys, love you. God bless you. See y'all Sunday.